today we're still on Psalm 22. Yesterday we did sort of a part one of Psalm 22, which was the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. Today we're just going to look at verse 1 of Psalm 22. And then, Lord willing, tomorrow we'll look at the six animals that are found in Psalm 22, and then we'll leave it there. We could keep going with Psalm 22, but we'll have to move on to Psalm 23. But today's verse is verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me from the words of my roaring? Of course, we know that this is quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in reference to himself when he was on the cross. And this is a verse that we would tread very, very carefully. It's holy ground. We need to, as we remove our shoes and approach and humiliation, and be careful of trying to explain things we can't explain. You know, sometimes I hear brethren speak in a certain way to try to correct how others pray or quote this verse, and in their defense of the holiness of the Lord, I believe that they're sincere. They themselves are in danger of dividing the Godhead. And so it's best sometimes not to say anything, but simply to bow before what the verse presents to us, that is a holy mystery that we can't enter into. And just as Martin Luther once said, that basically the answer to this for the Christian is simply silence and awe. And we should just, in that sense, leave it there. So I'm not going to take up any of the deep mysteries of this verse, but there's one aspect I want to look at, and that's a connection with the hour that it occurs. And so if you turn to your Bible in Matthew 27, and we'll read from verse 45, and then we'll read verse 46. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And of course, here in the scene in Matthew 27, we find the Lord Jesus as the great sin bearer. And the wrath of God is being poured out upon him. And particularly these 3 hours, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, we find there is darkness over all the land. And as I said, this is a holy scene. We must tread carefully and not be like Uzzah, who tried to steady the ark with his hand, or like those in Israel who peered into the ark. Let's just, as much as we that lies within us, be very careful as we look at this. And we know that here the Lord Jesus is being the sin bearer. Some have called this psalm the psalm of the sin offering. And that may be true, but I like to connect it also with the burnt offering, which we'll see shortly. But first, let's look at the at these verses. We get the timing. We have the sixth hour. It's from the sixth hour, which is in the Jewish reckoning, noon in our time, noon hour time. And then unto the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m., 3 in the afternoon. And Mark's Gospel tells us that the Lord Jesus was crucified in the Jewish reckoning the third hour, which would be 9 a.m., our time. So from 9 a.m. And then unto 3 p.m. was the time that the Lord Jesus was on the cross. But from noon to 3 p.m. was the period of the darkness. And at the end of that period, we get this cry of the Lord Jesus, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I know a Christian, a Jewish man, Hebrew Christian, and when he quotes this verse, he says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, sabachthani. And so it just goes to show that us English speakers, sometimes with these Hebrew words, we put our own spin, our own accent or whatever on it. Shvaktani is the way he pronounced it. But it's this cry of desertion where the Lord Jesus is under the wrath of God. And it's at the ninth hour that this occurs. Now, I said that I want to connect this with the burnt offering. And I want to particularly connect this with the hour of prayer. For, you know, the ninth hour in the scriptures, and we see it in the Acts of the Apostles, is the hour of prayer. We find in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, where John and Peter go up to the temple. It says it was at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. We see the same thing with Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, the centurion. It says that he was going to go into prayer at the ninth hour because he followed the Jewish tradition in these things, although he was a Gentile. Now, if we turn over to the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 29, there we get the law of the burnt offering in connection with the continual burnt offering. And I want to tie these things together. So if you turn to Exodus chapter 29, starting from verse 38, now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, the two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. This was the continual burnt offering. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening. And so with this continual burnt offering, the two lambs, one in the morning and one in the evening, the evening here, literally in the Hebrew, means between the evenings. And some of the newer translations translate it twilight. The time actually was 3 p.m., in the Jewish time, when the evening started, their p.m., so to speak, starts at 3, at least at that time and in the biblical times. And that was the hour of prayer. That was the evening lamb. Now, the morning lamb was at 9 a.m., or the third hour. The third hour. So the morning started prayer in the third hour, 9 a.m., and concluded in the ninth hour at 3 p.m. And of course, they had a prayer at noon, at the sixth hour at noon. They prayed three times a day. We see this with Daniel when he was in his upper room, facing Jerusalem three times a day. So the third hour, 9 a.m., the sixth hour, 12 p.m., and the ninth hour, 3 p.m. Now, this is wonderful when we start to consider this. When we look at Matthew 27, that it was at the ninth hour, it says in verse 46, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, and he cried the cry of forsaking. That it was at the ninth hour that the Lord Jesus cried this. The hour of prayer. And during those 3 hours of darkness, the Lord was under the judgment for our sins, of course. And the darkness was over all the land. There was that separation for him. And the cry comes. But it's at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, when the Lord Jesus cried this, or when he called out to God, we see how the veil in the temple was rent. And I think in Mark's gospel, it says that it was torn from top to bottom. And we know the significance of this, that it's telling us and showing us the way into the holy place. It was symbolic of that. Now the way has been opened up for us that we can enter in. And the cry of the Lord Jesus here occurs at the end, the very end of his being forsaken by God. And by the way, some people I hear teach that he wasn't really forsaken. But dear friend, what happened to the Lord Jesus was very real. Very real. Our sin was real. And the judgment he bore for them was real. But just at that turning point, when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then the way was opened up. And I wonder, when the priests were in the temple and they were offering the lamb for the evening of the continual burnt offering, and they saw and heard the veil rent, that huge, very thick veil in Herod's temple rent from top to bottom, what must have been the impact upon them? Well, how wonderful for us that the Lord Jesus has opened up the way to heaven. And those hours, he was not heard, but then he was heard. Because we read yesterday in Psalm 22 that you have heard me from the horns of the unicorn, or actually the horns of the wild oxen. He was heard, and he was raised from the dead, delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Dear friends, we have no excuse. The way is open. We can draw nearer to God with full confidence and with full assurance.